though Thanksgiving, not Thursday, is Thanksgiving, we will not have class, no.
Okay, this is October 19th. No excuses.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. You know, when we started this a couple months ago, when I decided to do this, I've been wanting to do this for years, and I've had trepidation about it, and I held myself back, and I think many people do this, simply because it's not popular, and also because you're running against race mind. You're running against the stream when you proclaim that you're a god or goddess. You also open yourself up to lots of ridicule, like who the hell do you think you are to be able to make such a statement? But I thought the class had come far enough, and I had come far enough, that we might as well claim this. We might as well do this. Because if we keep putting it off, the years go by. And then we make our transition, and the next generation comes along, and they don't do anything. And then humanity just keeps going from eon to eon without ever realizing the truth of their being. And the truth of your being is, and we had that last week, and I read this card last week, and I'm going to read it again today. I came from God, and since I must be what I came from, I am a piece of the divine. We must realize that we are a piece of the divine, and therefore we have the same qualities as this thing we call God. We make these wonderful, great, big, huge statements, all there is God, and then we say, well, who am I? What am I? You see, if everything is God, you have to be God. You have to be at least some part of God. I'm not saying you don't have to stand up like Shirley MacLaine and claim I'm God, but you can say all that I am is God, that I am not all that God is. But we have to get to that point where we are connected to the source, where we are connected to the thing that we say created us. If we don't do that, it's very difficult to manifest on this plane because you cause separation. And when you have any type of separation, you are not going to be able to manifest your desires, to manifest what you want. So, as always happens, when you get interested, when your attention goes someplace, when that energy that you have flows someplace, then things start to come to you. As soon as I decided that I would announce that you were gods and goddesses, I keep finding things. I came from God. Therefore, I must be some part of God. I found this one this week, and I just think it's wonderful. And it is. It is only by becoming godlike that we can know God. And to become godlike is to identify ourselves with the divine element, which in effect constitutes our essential nature. But of which, in our mainly voluntary ignorance, we choose to remain unaware. See, we choose to remain unaware. Many people do not want to know that they're connected to God. They don't want to know that they have creative qualities within them. Why? Because then they have to take responsibility for what they do. They can no longer play the blame game. So one of the things that I tell people when they come either to me privately or in these classes, the reason why you come to this class is to learn a different way to go through life. A different way to go through life than most people do. Do you want to just pick up? We've talked about this in the first session of this these classes in October, which I titled, No More Excuses. Quit coming up with excuses for yourself. Human beings have more excuses than anybody that I know. We can always think of a reason why we can't do something, why we can't have something, why we can't become something. But if you know that you're part of God, you have to give up that excuse, and you have to start saying, okay, if I'm some part of God, if I was created with all the qualities of God, therefore, I must be able to create. I must be able to control my thinking. I must be able to do this. So this is what we're learning, and we are never taught this. There is no school that you can go to that will teach you that it's all a mental world that we live in, And it's all done with your thinking. Everything initiates in thought. It starts there. So you always have to be watching and observing and becoming aware of what you are thinking, so that you are just not regurgitating what the world is telling you all the time, and taking everything that the authority figures tell you, or the world itself tells you, as truth, and believing that, instead of saying, wait a minute, bucko, I am an individualized expression of God. Therefore, I have a mind that can think, and can think clearly and perfectly. We are all living, moving, and having our being in this one mind, the mind of God. And we must be able to have access to that mind. So it boils down to this, to become aware and to learn to elevate your thinking. To elevate it where? To elevate it to divine thinking. To learn to think God thoughts after it. When you have no longer have separation, when you can start to think God thoughts after it, you are going to manifest just constantly. But because you do not do that, you think you're separated, or you think your mind isn't good enough. I thought that for years. I thought surely when I was on the assembly line, somebody put in the wrong mind. But I've cleared that from my awareness, from my consciousness. So I take full responsibility for my thinking. And I know that I have a good mind because I'm using the mind of God. So when you start to do that and start to think God thoughts after it, your life changes. Your life changes. So during the week and so forth, remind yourself, not just when you come here, say to yourself, I'm a god, I'm a goddess. I have creative qualities inside of me. I can change my life by changing my thinking. This is the most wonderful thing that you can learn. This is the most wonderful thing that you can learn. So, all trepidation and embarrassment has left me. So if I want to say I'm a god and you're a goddess and gods and goddesses, I'm going to say that till it becomes the norm, till people start thinking that. This world will never change as long as we keep thinking that we are separated, as long as we keep thinking that we are human beings and nothing else but a human with this short lifespan, this short experience. You must stretch your consciousness to immortality. You must do that for yourselves. I cannot do that. I can only come up with these things. But start thinking, how am I attached to this source? How am I attached to this thing called God, this intelligence, this life? And then start to use it and start to see it all around you. All around you. So, with that, I'm going to remember. I said we had one at the very beginning, and it was Marcus Aurelius and the different Greek and Roman philosophers who 2,500, 3,000 years ago knew this stuff. And you can still read all that. You can take a philosophy class and read all this stuff. But we never apply it to our life. And we have never applied it to this world that we live in. Very rare for people to apply this. Because we get so caught up in the world. We get so caught up with what the world says that we forget who we are. And we cannot afford to do that. This statement was made 2,500 years ago. Relinquish the notion that you are separated from the all-knowing mind of the universe. Relinquish the notion that you are separated from the all-knowing mind of the universe. You see, 2,500 years ago, they knew this. And yet we're here today, still analyzing this, still saying in our mind, I wonder if this is true. Well, I wish it would be true, but I can't really prove that it's true. Is this really true? Do you think it's really true? Well, I don't know if it's really true. I don't know. Our minds are still doing this to us. Instead of sitting down and saying, listen, this is the way it is, and this is the way I'm thinking. You see, you can think any way you want. You can think any way you want. So why wouldn't you want to think the very best of yourself? Why wouldn't you want to always do that? This is what we learn. This is what we have to learn. And we do that by reminding ourselves daily, hourly, every moment, that we are connected to the thing that created us. And therefore, we must have those qualities. And you know what happens in the lower worlds happens in all realms. The same thing always happens. So in this realm, we say, oh yes, we can have the qualities of our earthly father. So why don't you now say, I can have the qualities of my heavenly father, and start taking on those qualities. Start taking on those qualities. So I'll read this again. It is only by becoming godlike that we can know God. And to become godlike is to identify ourselves with the divine element, which in fact constitutes our essential nature, but of which in our, mainly, voluntary ignorance, we choose to remain unaware. We are the ones that are choosing to do that. And we go to institutions and so forth, which teach all the things that they think they know about God. But they never tell you that you're a God yourself. They never tell you that you're part of this whole thing called the universe. They want to separate you from that so that you can feel victimized, so that you can feel smaller than and less than. Do not allow them to do that to you. Do not allow them to do that. If I cannot accomplish this in my lifetime on this plane of action, I hope I leave enough breadcrumbs, seeds behind for the next generation to pick up and go with the ball, so that the next generation can say, oh, very proudly, yes, I'm connected to God, and I am a God in the making. This is what we need. This is what we need in this world. The world will not change without it. It will stay the same. And it stays the same because, why? We have this wonderful thing going on that says history repeats itself. We do that. And yet we say, all things are possible with God. You cannot say all things are possible with God and then say history repeats itself. You say, you are creating that. This thing called God does not do that. God makes all things new. Makes all things new. Make yourself new. Make yourself different. Bring yourself to this realization. Give up that voluntary ignorance that you put on to please the world. To please the world. You see, years ago, I wouldn't have said any of this. I wouldn't have stood up and said, geez, I'm a God. I especially wouldn't have done it around my family. They would have been the first one with the tar and feathers. So you keep your mouth shut about these things. But you cannot keep your mouth shut anymore. You see, so many people are embarrassed by being spiritual, by talking about God. It embarrasses them. Why would you be embarrassed? It's your essential nature that you're talking about. It's your essential nature that you're talking about. So with that said, would everyone close their eyes a moment? And I want you just to picture or imagine that inside of you is this thing that we call spiritual. Is this spiritual being. Feel that spiritual being. Know that that spiritual being fills up your entire being. And as you get that vision, as you get that feeling, that inside of you is a twin, is your twin, and that twin is your spiritual self. Now, as you do that, start to see that spiritual self stepping out from you. And now it's standing beside you. And no one can tell the difference. They can't tell the difference between this human being and this spiritual being. There's no difference. It's a twin. Now, if you allow that to be seen in your mind, now I want you, as you see the twin standing there, I want you to take that human being and put it inside the spiritual being, so that the inner becomes the outer. Just like turning a shirt inside out. Now no one can tell the difference. You look exactly like you used to. But now, you're showing your spiritual being. And you're allowing that human being to step back, to stay on the inside, where you have always placed the spiritual. And from this minute on, know that you are using your spiritual stuff. You are using your spiritual being. And you're allowing the other to fade in to the nothingness from whence it came. You may come back when you're ready. Many people think that God is in them, like a raisin in a cookie. God is not in you, like a raisin in a cookie. You are in God, like a wave in the ocean. Like a wave in the ocean. You and I and everybody else is making up God. God would be incomplete without you. Would be incomplete without you. So from now on, remember that you're coming from your spiritual being, which is on the outside of you, not buried on the inside, and only brought out for those days when you need a little help. Many people only bring that spiritual part out one day a week when they attend a service of some sort. Then lo and behold, I drag it out. Your spiritual being is now out. You have come out. So wear that proudly. And use that. And don't sink back in to that frail human being that you have been told you are with all these limiting qualities. Spirit has no limitations. That's why we can make that wonderful, enormous statement. All things are possible with God because there is no limitations. So in this, excuses be gone, or no more excuses, you no longer can consider yourself limited in any way. You no longer can say to yourself, but I'm human. It has nothing to do with it. You are a spiritual being. You always were, and you always will be. And you're here on this plane of action, living a mental world. And you have to know that. That it is your mind that is creating everything. Nothing on the outside of life does anything. Anything that happens in your life is initiated by a thought. By a thought. So for people who are having difficulty manifesting, sit down first and get your spiritual side 100% and realize that you are not separated from your source. You are not separated from that source. And then just be grateful and it will happen for you. But we grunt and we carry on and we think we have to work and we think we have to overwork and we have to say 37,000 Hail Marys to get somewhere. You do not. You have to know that you are not separated from this power. And that this power wants nothing but good for you. It wants you to have everything. And you can have everything. That is what it is about. But we come up with too many excuses. And we don't need them. With that, will you turn and say to jury, I am a divine essence who is limitless, formless, and infinite.
I'm a divine essence. What?
I am a divine essence.
I am a divine essence.
Who is limitless?
Who is limitless?
Formless.
Formless.
And infinite.
And infinite.
We'll help you.
I am a divine essence who is limitless.
Formless.
Formless. And
infinite.
Infinite. I am a divine essence.
Limitless. I am a divine essence.
I'm divine essence.
Who is?
Who is?
Limitless.
Limitless.
Formless.
Formless.
And infinite.
And infinite. Yes,
limitless, formless, and infinite.
Pass the card.
Infinite.
I'm divine, essence, limitless, formless, and infinite.
Divine essence, but limitless, formless, and infinite. I'm a divine essence who is limitless, formless, and infinite.
I'm a divine essence that is limitless, formless, and
I'm a divine essence that is limitless, formless.
I'm a divine essence who is limitless, formless, and infinite.
I'm a divine essence who is limitless, formless, and infinite.
And I am a divine essence who is limitless, formless, and infinite. Alex just came up with a wonderful suggestion, and I will implement that post-haste. I will write this on a 3x5 card, and we will pay it.
Just for the hard one.
That's a wonderful idea, see? We're open always to suggestions.
For only the hard ones.
Only the hard ones. I noticed that many people had difficulty saying, I am a divine essence. You see, as soon as we use the word divine, we sort of start to shrink because we hesitate. It's the same way as declaring that you're a god or you're a goddess. To say to somebody, I'm divine, to go, that's a good one. You see, we have to know that we're divine. We have to know that we're divine. That's what it's all about. That is why you're here on this plane of action. That is why you incarnated here, to discover who you are. So if you put that as your top priority of discovering who you are instead of what you want, you will see all the difference in your life also. What you want will come to you. What you want, what you desire is a given. You do not get those things because you do not know who you are. Figure out who you are first. And I told you who you are. You're a divine essence. You're part of God. Last week, I think I said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all else will be added unto you. The kingdom of heaven is in your thinking. It is in your mind. It's not a geographical location. When you make your transition, you're not going to go to the pearly gates. I sold those a week or so ago. You have to know that you're connected. You have to know that you're connected to this thing called God, Source, Harry, whatever it is. But what you allow your mind to tell you, and that's the ego part of your mind, that you're separate. You see? That you're different than other people. You know? We are not different. Each and every one of us is exactly the same. We're all the same. We look different. That's only an appearance. The rest of it, we're all the same. Now, how many people have rubber bands and have been using their rubber bands? Good. Please use these rubber bands. I'm telling you, they're invaluable. It's a wonder I have a hand left. I gave one of these last Friday to a lady in my yoga class who was bitching and complaining and carrying on about everything. So I explained it to her. Now this lady is in school to become a hypnotherapist. And I go, oh. Well, anyway, today she came in bitching and complaining, and I said to her, have you learned nothing? Where is your rubber band? She said, oh, it was too big. I couldn't wear that. You see? It was too big. You couldn't wear it. It's a little thing. Call it a gimmick. Call it a trick. Call it anything. But it brings you back to the now immediately. It keeps your mind on track. You have to train your mind. You see? Otherwise, it's going to take you where you don't want to go. And it usually takes you to the past or to the future. You know, we spend so much time that we miss the now. But the most essential thing to realize about the now is you can never leave the now. Your past happened in the now. Your future is going to happen in the now. There's no way you're ever going to escape the now. But your mind likes to tell you that time was better. Let's escape and go there. Learn to stay in the now. How do you learn to stay in the now? You can use this. You can see. Feel. What are you feeling at the present moment? Are you really sitting in this chair? Now, ask yourself, how do I feel at this present moment? How do I feel at this present moment? Not, how did I feel last week when I was sitting in this chair? You see, we like to go back and compare things. We like to say, well, I felt this way then, so now I'm going to feel this way now. This is when you get this band really working. You say, you get this band working. Please, use it. Call it a gimmick. Call it anything. You can call the rosary a gimmick, by the way. Why do you think people have prayer beads and rosaries? It keeps them in the now. They have something to do. As long as they're doing that, they're mind. If you cannot have two thoughts going on at the same time. Hail Mary, full of grace. As long as you're chattering that, as long as you're doing a mantra of any type, your mind is not going someplace else. All of those things came up to train the mind. Why do you think they invented those things, you say? To train the mind to stay in the present. So use these different things. Now, here's a cute one, my mind. Does anyone remember an organization, a religious organization, group of people called the Shakers? You know, and they made wonderful furniture, simple, beautiful furniture, and they would stand and they just shook with their hands. They were called Shakers. See, and how many times have I told you, anyone can start a religion. You see, anyone can start a religion. So here, we could be the Snappers. You can do it. You can do it. So, stay in the now. Use all these little techniques. And don't forget that it's a mental world that you're living in. I think that's the hardest one to grasp. Because you always want to go outside of yourself and think something else is causing something. It's always going to be your thinking. Always going to be your thinking. Nothing else is going on. Nothing else is going on. Only your thinking is going on. So, align your thinking with the divine mind. Well, now you're going to say, how do I know what the divine mind's thinking? Well, I don't know any better than you know. But I do have a belief that there is a mind that I'm living, moving, and having our being in. And I certainly think if there's something called God, it must have a better thought than I can come up with. It certainly is not going to be down here. It's going to have to be an elevated thought. So you just keep elevating your thoughts. You elevate your thoughts. Remember the old thing I said? If somebody hit me, I can say, ooh, I hate that rotten son of a bitch. And that's over here. Over here is love. All I have to do is keep changing my thinking, elevating it, till it gets over to where it's supposed to be. Over here to love. Over here to God. God and love are one and the same thing. But we have to do that, you see. People want something to change in their mind. You have to change your mind. You can read every book. You can come to every one of my lectures. And you can say, boy, he's a good talker, or he's a bad talker, whatever. But if you don't make all this stuff your own, if you don't let it sink in, and become yours, it's not going to do you a bit of good. It's not going to do you a bit of good. I've said many times, don't go out here and say Dallas said something. Go out of here and claim it for yourself. You see, I'm not interested in people parroting what I'm saying, simply because I don't remember half the time what I say. So you could tell me I said anything, and I probably would say, well, you may be right. I may have said that. But learn to elevate your thinking. You can do that. Use it as a game. Use it as anything. Use this imagination. Now, you all have an idea what you think God is, you see. So then, how would this God think? Would God say, oh, I think I'll cause war. I think I'll cause pestilence. I think I'll cause disease and all this stuff. No, I don't think so. So where do these things come from? They have to come from your mind, your small mind, this thing that we call the ego. It has to come from there. So we're learning to leave the ego behind, to leave that human side behind, and to think God thoughts after it, so that you no longer have any excuses. So you can say, oh, I can think a better thought. The whole idea of life is choice. What are you choosing to think? Who are you choosing to be? If you're down in the dumps and you're wasting your time with anxiety and depression and so forth, that's a very poor choice. That's just a poor choice. So choose yourself out of those things. Now, I know now we have clinical depression, and we have chronic depression, and we have all kinds of depression. But it's a mental world we live in. If you change your thinking, you will no longer be depressed. So how does one start to change their thinking? First, by knowing what? I am worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yes. Know those things about yourself. You see, you cannot say that you're connected to God, that this thing called God created you, that you have all these wonderful qualities within you, and then think that you're less than. Then think that you're less than. This idea that you're less than, that you're unlovable, is epidemic in the world. This epidemic in the world. I don't know how many people wake up in the morning and think that they're not a good person, that they're less than. Do not allow your mind to do that to you. And I don't care if it's because you came from a bad family, that you're in a bad relationship, that the weather is ugly outside. You have to change your mind. And only you can do that. And it will take some discipline. But everything in life takes discipline. Everything in life takes discipline. But you can change your thinking. Now, how do I know that that is true? Because I have done it. I have changed my thinking. I never come here and give a talk on something that I have not done yet. That's why it took so long for me to get up the gumption, to get up the courage to say that you are gods and goddesses. Because if I had done this a couple years ago, next week I'd have maybe one person come to class. They would have run out saying, what a nut job that guy is. We have to do that in our own minds. You have to come to that conclusion. I can put the idea out there. I can plant a seed in you. But you have to nourish that. And you have to want it to grow. You have to want it to grow. Because there is a completely different way to go through life. There's a completely different way to go through life than most people do. And that means, without all the stress, struggle, strain, and sacrifice that somebody told you was life. That is not life. You are here to express yourself joyously. Joyously. Every moment. Every moment. And yes, different things come into your life. Different situations come into your life. Don't qualify them. Just look at them as a situation. You see, we've been taught it's either good or it's bad. Can it just be? Can it just be? Just leave things be. Live in the moment. Look around and say, at this moment, everything is wonderful. Everything is wonderful. And soon, everything will be wonderful. Everything will be wonderful. I have some cards. The ego is a false self that believes in its separation. Any time that you're feeling poorly, any time that you're feeling bad, you have separated yourself from God, or from the source of your being, from your divine essence. You are using your ego. Notice the ego and tell it to go back to the nothingness from whence it came. The ego loves to fight you. I say to my ego, thank you for bringing me this far. I am now strong enough to go the rest of the journey by myself. See? You do not need it. When you luxuriate in the moment, it's impossible to ask for anything else, let alone more. Let alone more. You see, at this very moment, each and every one of us has all we need. We have everything available to us this moment. Now, you have to know that, you have to believe that, and realize that the next moment will be the same. But you allow your ego mind to say, oh, well, you know, it may rain when you go out and you don't have a raincoat with you. Or this may happen or that may happen. Why do you want your mind to do that to you all the time? If it's going to rain, an umbrella will appear somewhere. Or be like my friend Joyce that I often talk about, the motivator of 1 of 1,000. She just walks between the raindrops. Don't ask. The real issue is how you choose to use up the precious moments of your life. Isn't that fantastic? The real issue is how you choose to use up the precious moments of your life. How are you, the precious, precious sand in the hourglass. How are you using each moment in your life? Each moment of your life, are you saying to yourself, you're wonderful? Mm-hmm. Are you saying that to yourself each moment? Are you saying, I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter each moment? Or are you allowing your mind to say, oh, you didn't do that right, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, da, 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 da. You're not enough, you'll never be enough. Are you, is that the conversation? The internal conversation is going on in your mind. You started, people. And you can stop it. It's not your friend. It was never your friend. It will never bring you any good news. Tell it to go back to the nothingness from whence it came. And start a new internal dialogue. Start your new internal dialogue with the new self, the spiritual self that you truly are. And know that that other ego, that human thing, is no longer operating in you. And when you hear it, pull your rubber band. Ah, Don't make life an enemy and use up your precious moments in a state of anxiety and depression. Many people make life an enemy. They think this is a life sentence. They think they're living a life sentence. Some people can't wait till they leave this plane of action. This was a horrible life. Oh, this is awful. Life was just dreadful. Life is horrible. How many people do you hear saying life is difficult, life is ugly, life is this, that, and the other thing? Don't listen to those people. Get away from them as fast as you can. Who wants those people around? No one. Precious moments of your life. Moments. Our relationship to the present moment defines our relationship to life itself. Our relationship to the present moment defines our relationship to life itself. How are you feeling in this moment? Are you loving yourself? Are you holding yourself in the highest of esteem? Hold yourself there. Regardless, and don't let your mind say, well, you didn't do the dishes, you didn't do the ironing, you didn't wash the floor, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. Whatever your mind is telling you has nothing to do with it. You're a magnificent human being. Know that. One of the most tragic things I know about human nature is that all of us tend to put off living. We are all dreaming of some magical rose garden over the horizon. Instead of enjoying the roses that are blooming outside our windows today. Don't put off living. Don't put off that. How many people are doing that? They're waiting for this to happen, that to happen. They're waiting for, oh, if I get more money, then I'll do this. If I get a job, I'll do this. If I get a lover, I'll do this, that, and the other thing. Do it now. Don't put anything off. You know, your rose garden is here. It's here. Look around. There's no mystical, magical rose garden out there. You are it. Emphasizing needing more has built within it the idea of shortage, lack, and I don't have enough. Emphasizing needing more. Every morning when I'm doing my work, I sit in a particular chair and I look over my small domain. And I give thanks for everything that is there. And I never say, I need more. I say, I have more than enough. I have more than enough. And every time I do that, more comes. More comes. You see, you cannot see need. If you see need, it makes you needy. And if you see needy, think needy, you're setting up a vibration. And that's a vibration of being needy. And all that does is go out and find another vibration that matches itself and brings you neediness. It brings you neediness. If you want money, you have to sit and think money. You have to feel what it would feel like. The money, the security, whatever the feeling that you're looking for. Then that sets up a vibration. And that vibration goes out and finds itself. Something like itself, and it brings it back to you. And it brings it back to you. We always, in this teaching ask for more. But not from a place of neediness. We ask for more because we know that we live in an abundant universe and that it gives the Father great pleasure to give you His kingdom. So we say, more please, more please, more please. And you will receive that. All excuses are avoidance techniques to keep you from taking charge and changing your thinking habits. All excuses are avoidance techniques to keep you from taking charge and changing your thinking habits. Change your thinking habits. Change your thinking habits. It's all done with the mind, people. I tell you that day in and day out. And we completely forget that all the time because the world is so convincing. The world will convince you. I get what I think about. And I am choosing from here on to think in harmony with my source of being until it becomes habitual. Repetition is how anything is done. Use that repetition by thinking constantly of this thing called God, by elevating your thinking till it becomes habitual. It must become habitual. The universe not only will, but must provide you with what you conceive of. Provide you with what you conceive of. Put another way, what mind can conceive, man can achieve. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.